Star Walker Studios presents Dungeon Master's Journey, your multidimensional D&D podcast. Hello, fellow gamer. Welcome to episode 277 of Dungeon Master's Journey. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. On this show, we discuss the craft and the art of dungeon mastering. I've been running RPGs for over 28 years now, and I produce this show in the hopes that you can benefit from my experience, my triumphs, and my mistakes. So today, I am trying something different, something new on the show, and we are going to do a little recap of my D&D campaign. So as you may know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I used to do actual play episodes of my D&D campaign and have recently stopped doing those just due to lack of interest, basically. But I thought it would be fun to do some recaps for those of you who were following along with the actual play, so you can still know what's going on in the campaign and know how things turn out. But also, I think for everyone, even if you weren't keeping up on the actual play, hopefully this will be a more interesting and entertaining format than just listening to a recording of someone's game session. Because yeah, you're not gonna have to sit there and listen to us roll dice or do math or endure agonizing hours of tabletop RPG round by round combat. Instead, you just get to hear the highlights of what happened, and it's also a chance for me and some of the players to talk about what's going on in the campaign and maybe some behind the scenes kind of stuff and that kind of thing. So I've heard some other podcasts do this, and I've always found it really entertaining myself. And honestly, I find it more entertaining to listen to a recap of someone's game than actually sit and try to listen to the whole game session. Your mileage may vary, but my experience at least is playing tabletop games, tabletop role-playing games is a lot of fun. Playing D&D is a lot of fun. Watching other people play, not so much. However, most of us, if not all of us, do love, quote, war stories of our times gaming, whether they're stories of things that a player character of ours did that were really cool, or things that our player character was part of that was really cool, or as a GM, things that your players did that were really cool. So I've yet to meet someone who plays D&D who doesn't love trading stories like that. And so, but that's kind of what this is. So hopefully this will be entertaining and maybe even helpful if you're wanting to DM or you are a DM, just to see how things go at our table. The other upside to doing it this way is it will take a lot less of your time. So our game sessions, they vary a bit, but they're usually between 3 and 4 hours. And today, in about an hour, we're going to recap two of those sessions for you. So yeah, you don't have to sit through 8 hours of audio to get the gist. You can get it in about an hour. So today I have my players, Phoebe and Craig on. Phoebe plays a firbolg druid named Bryn, and Craig plays a human cleric named Quincy. And we are recapping, as I said, two of our game sessions today that we played back in December of 2019. So I'm recording this in April of 2020. So this was quite a few months ago for us. But luckily the players together take notes on the session, take really good notes. So it really helped us remember exactly what happened, and especially remembering what happened in which session. I think together we could all probably remember the highlights of what happened, but we'd probably get the chronology confused and be confused about what happened when and during which session. So the notes have been really helpful about that or for that. So if you hear us talking about the notes, that's what we're talking about. And as far as the notes, we just have a Google document that I shared with everyone. So all of the players have edit access to that document. And so when we're playing or after we play, any of the players or myself can go in there and add to the notes. And we have a similar document that we use, although that's a Google spreadsheet that we use for the treasure, party treasure, bag of holding, that kind of stuff. So if you play online or even if you don't, I highly recommend Google Docs for that because it's nice because all the players have access to that. They can all edit it and edit in real time. So usually we have a designated note taker during a given session who's doing most of the notes, but any of the players or even myself can go in there at any time and add things or correct things. And a lot of times I, as the DM, will go in there and correct things. I'm not going to correct things that the players maybe get wrong or remember wrong or things like that. But I go in and I will just correct things like the spelling of proper names. You know, this being fantasy, when I give an NPC's name, you know, usually it's not a real world name. It's a made up name. So, you know, people can have different ideas of how that name is spelled. And so I'll often go in and correct spellings of names. But as far as what the players put in there, it's their notes. So I don't mess with it other than that. So yeah, highly recommend that. Even if you don't play online, it's a nice way that between game sessions, everyone can go check that out and get caught up or refresh their memory if they're forgetting exactly what happened. And it's also nice if a player misses a session, they can hopefully on their own time before they come to the next session, look over the notes and have some idea of what they missed. So yeah, I highly recommend that. We found it really helpful. And we started doing that partway through the campaign. I think it was our player Danielle that started it. And she's done a lot of the note-taking when she's there, at least. And then others do it when she's not. But it was a really great idea. And I wish we'd done it for the whole campaign. Because even as a GM, I find those notes highly valuable. If I can't maybe remember something, or I'm trying to remember something and I didn't write it down in my notes during the session, a lot of times I can find it in the player's notes, which is really handy. So yeah, we're going to bring Craig and Phoebe on and we're going to recap two sessions from December. The players have started naming the sessions in the notes and they often come up with fairly humorous names. Honestly, I wish I would have had them naming the sessions for the actual play because they come up with better names than I usually do. So the first session we're calling Arcan, No Arcant. And the second session is called Pit Stop. So these were two separate game sessions that we played in December. And we're going to recap them both for you today. Start out with just Phoebe and then Craig joins us a little later. So without further ado, let's get into our recap. Luckily, we have these notes you guys have been keeping, which are going to make this much easier.
Not me. It's been great people.
Yeah, I think it was mainly Danielle, and then I think Craig and Brett did some when she wasn't here. But yeah, this is really nice because mm-hmm. I don't think I could have done some of these otherwise. Like, this is so far back. Like, this is
like we're doing December here.
Yeah. I don't remember what happened in December.
No, I don't have the short, like, the memory.
Yeah.
At all for that. There's no space left in the hard drive.
So yeah, I'm just going to kind of use these notes as kind of our kind of outline. So the last actual play that I did was, it looks like, the session on December 3rd, which was Death Under the Big Top in the notes.
Yes, that this was the one that I wasn't here for.
Okay, that one you weren't here for. Yeah, and then the one that we're going to talk about is the Arcan No Arcant from December 11th. And that one, Craig wasn't here for, but you were here.
I was.
So kind of the actual play covered the first part of this combat. This was one of those combats that went over multiple sessions. And you guys were fighting Arcan, and you were fighting... Kroll, who I believe was the heavy metal Tortle.
That is Kroll, yeah.
And then let's see, who else was there? I'm looking, they might not be in the notes. I might have to look at my notes.
The Minotaur.
Yeah, Torogar.
And I think y'all went in and dusted those guys before I came back.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the end of the session before that, let's see, Larissa had Dahlia polymorph the Chimera into a cat who fell from the air and landed on Larissa's head. Wall got the killing blow on Torogar the Minotaur, who is where those flaming gauntlets came from. He was wearing those that Bryn might end up with.
The only reason Bryn doesn't have those yet is because Phoebe keeps forgetting.
Well, they're really simple. All they do is your natural attacks do an extra 1d6 fire.
Oh, cool.
So they're, all you got to remember when you're in an animal form is you do an extra 1d6 fire with all your...
I can make a note of
that. Well, I guess technically it would be the claw attacks because they'd be like on the claws.
Yeah.
But I think that's all they do.
Playing an animal with claws.
Yeah, that could be a cool visual.
Oops.
Like flaming claws. And then, there were some Abishai that they killed. The Chimera was then killed after it was turned into a cat. And so, at the end of that combat, the only one left was Arcan. So then the session we're going to talk about right now was just, I guess, you guys fighting Arcan, which I had forgotten until I looked at the notes here.
Yeah, that was an interesting fight.
Well, it was actually kind of against Arcan and also the Hand of Vecna.
Yeah.
It was almost like another character.
A little bit. I don't think Arcan was completely in control there at all.
Yeah, well, I took a little artistic license or DM license there because right away at the very beginning, Larissa cast Hold Monster on Arcan, and he failed to save.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. Yet again, when Manny breaks an encounter. Yeah.
The Glamour Bard, man.
It's pretty powerful.
It's so powerful, and it lets you just totally just bypass so much combat.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, we were going to fight. Oh, no. They're picking up our bags for us and carrying them. And okay, they're our friends now.
Yeah.
All right. This is, welp.
Yeah. That might be something for DMs to think about. If you're not who's cool with the player characters, just like
sidestepping all combat. Sometimes
maybe Glamour Bard.
I love how Manny pulls that stuff off. But it is like we've all got our weapons out. We're ready to throw down, and then suddenly it's like, oh, we're not fighting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's there's definitely not, there's a day when I was a little younger that I would have been very put out by some of that. But now I'm just
I think it actually made for some interesting RP, because I think at some point, like, Wall and Bryn were kind of taken aback at the fact that they were like, going straight into fighting, and they didn't even think about trying to be peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Larissa had it, they were like, ooh, what does that say about us?
So Larissa basically paralyzes him with
yeah.
the, hold monster. And so, yeah, at that point, I decided the hand of Vecna would be able to do some things just on its own, just so it wasn't a total face roll.
No, I think that was a brilliant move, because, like, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of seemed to make sense. And kind of the some of what was going on behind the scenes with him that you guys didn't know about was, you know, he's kind of struggling to control it and it's kind of taking him over. So it kind of fit that. So then the hand of Vecna was acting on its own, and it cast Finger of Death on Larissa and brought her to one hit point.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
And oh, so Krull was still around, but he was charmed. So he was fighting for you guys. And then that was another weird thing, because you know, he was charmed, but he's like Arkin's like his friend. And so I kind of played it like he was kind of torn what to do. So I think there was even a couple rounds where Krull just didn't really do anything, because he's like, oh, my friends are fighting. What am I going to do?
Can't we all just get along?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, Quincy had some spirit guardians going. So Krull like asked everybody to quit fighting. Let's all get along. And he dispelled the spirit guardians. And then that's when Bryn dropped the bomb. Bryn pulled a Larissa and like blew everybody's mind with your summon spell. Do you remember what happened?
No, I remember that, because I was like, I remember reading the rules and being like, this is insane. If I can get away with this, this is insane.
Yeah.
There's no way. I mean, the fact that you can summon, I think this turned into a bit of an interesting conversation between me and you.
Yeah.
Guarding the rules.
Yeah. A bit of a debate.
Well. A bit of a debate.
Yeah.
We got there in the end.
So what happened was Bryn, yeah. What was the spell? Summon woodland
spell
creatures?
Was, summon conjure woodland beings.
Yeah. I think. So one of the things you can conjure are pixies.
Pixies.
Which and you
pixies,
did. Yeah.
Yeah. And pixies are a fairly low CR. Like I was able to summon something like six of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're actually, well, that's actually what Dahlia is based on, is the pixie. Yeah. And they don't have any physical attacks. They can't do any damage.
Any physical attacks, but they have some crazy spellcasting abilities.
Yeah, they have polymorph. Polymorph,
which is like a little broken. So yeah. I was like, oh man, it's going to be such a glass cannon move, because one hit, like one AoE would wipe all of these little ladies out.
Yeah.
But if I can get a couple polymorphs off.
Yeah. So what did you have the pixies do with their polymorph?
I turned Larissa into a petunia. I turned her into a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah. Yeah. That was super cool. And then, I mean, that was kind of about the end of it then, wasn't it? I'm looking at the notes.
I mean,
what happened
she,
next.
Miss Fabulous Dinosaur was, she went pretty crazy. She just went and like grappled Arkon, basically.
Yeah, in her mouth.
And he couldn't do anything about it because it's like,
yeah, he was paralyzed.
Cool monster.
Yeah. And actually right before that, Wall grabbed the necklace from him that had Tiamat's blood in it, which was actually what you guys needed from this, was that vial of blood. So right before Larissa ate him, Wall like grabbed the blood from him.
Yeah, I actually loved that move. I thought that was, because I totally thought that he was going to go and just like absolutely pound the shit out of.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was like, all right, he's going to smite this fucker up. And he just went up and just like took the blood.
Yeah. I think there was even a moment where Brett was like, hey guys, we just need the blood, right? Like, that's why we're here. And we're like, yeah. And he's like, okay, I go grab the blood. then Larissa like bit and grappled Arkon, and then at that point the hand of Vecna basically teleported Arkon away, You guys don't know where. Probably back to his tower that you guys saw.
Probably.
And yeah, that was the defeat of Arkin. So basically, I think really it came down to Larissa's whole person and you're summoning the polymorphing pixies, which I think sounds like a punk band or something.
It kind of does. And I like to think that they all kind of just like, didn't we, they were like dancing in unison. They were doing like a little cheerleading
yeah.
at some point, which I thought was very cute.
See, now I want to do this thing where, oh, this happened in hell though. I want to do this thing where there's a group of pixies going through the land, just like polymorphing people and like spreading chaos.
I mean, that is exactly what they would do.
Yeah, I might have to do something with that. That sounds like that could be
No, fun. I don't have the stats for pixies up off the top of my head, but they have some crazy spells. That are just like, how do they have these?
I should have them.
They're such little bebs. Because
that's what, well, I guess Dahlia, I changed her. So she's got some spells the pixies don't have. But yeah, they've got polymorph. I think they can do greater invisibility at will. They can just basically be invisible whenever they want. They've got the fly spell, detect thoughts, sleep. Phantasmal yeah. Force. Dispel magic. That one's pretty good. Thank God they don't have counter spells. They would be insane if they had counter spells.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Just be like, hey.
But yeah, they have one hit point.
One hit point. So
15 armor class.
If you get lucky enough, you could potentially have a couple like fairly decent level spellcasters just in your back pocket.
Yeah.
If they don't get crushed like flies on a wall.
So yeah, I you know, so that's how it played out. But I really wanted to look into this because that seemed a little OP to me.
Absolutely. But I was like, I didn't even stop to think about that. I was a little too drunk on power. I was like, sure. This is so amazing.
Well, I mean, that's the DM's job. It's not necessarily the player's job to worry about stuff like that. And you know, I'm fine with something like that happening once or twice. I just wouldn't want, you know, you to be like, oh, wow, this is awesome. And like every combat, you're like, I summon polymorphing pixies.
Oh, gosh.
Because yeah, then yeah, it would be...
That'd be ridiculous. And it actually turns out this has actually been like a hotly debated mechanic.
Yeah. Yeah. Like so people have asked Jeremy Crawford about it. Because I guess this is something that's come up for people before. And kind of his response was that the player doesn't necessarily get to choose what appears. They can say, this is what I would like to appear, but it's ultimately up to the DM to pick something from that list. So I guess that was kind of his way of suggesting handling it is just being like, well, if you think that's too powerful or you don't want that to happen, just have something other than pixies show up, I guess. But yeah, pixies. for like once in a while in the clutch moment, I think it's pretty sweet.
I mean, rule of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it was an interesting because I guess I'd never thought of the spell like that. And at first I was kind of resistant to it because I was like, I want to be able to know what I'm getting when I cast a spell. But then I thought, actually, that could be pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, and I still like the idea that we talked about that night of maybe coming up with specific NPCs that you summon. So instead of just like... Yeah, instead of just a random pixie, like actually a specific pixie that like every time you summon it, it's the same pixie. That could be kind of fun. And yeah.
Kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you never watched anime, did you, Lex?
Not so much. I've seen a little here and there, but.
Well, for listeners, it reminds me.
My wife knows all about it.
Well, ask Nikki if she's ever seen Naruto. And
I think she has.
The titular character has the ability to summon like magical frogs, talking frogs that can, you know.
Oh, she has to have seen it because she loves frogs. So they had her with magic talking frogs, I'm sure.
Yeah, so it goes from like a little frogs to like giant frogs that are like the size of a mountain and will absolutely tear your shit up.
Wow.
Because they have swords. Anime. It's just cool. But sweet. Every single time they're like, what are you doing? I was taking a nap. Or they'll be like, oh, hey, nice to see you again. You know, they'll have each one is like a character, an established character.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Personality. It's not just a frog.
That's cool.
That could be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you're going to be using like the summoning stuff more. It'd be fun to do a little more with it. Make it a little more special.
Because I, as a druid, I do have a lot of summoning spells.
Yeah. 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 And that's kind of the...
From my friends.
Yeah. It's kind of the part of the shtick or whatever is like you call for help and all these animals come from everywhere and like, to help
like,
you. And
like Snow White, just like singing and the birds come help her or whatever.
Yeah. And I guess from that point of view, the idea of like the DM deciding what shows up kind of makes sense because it could be based on like what's nearby kind of thing. Like it's like Lionel, you know, uses the sword and puts the symbol in the sky. And it's like, well, whatever's nearby is what shows up, you know.
It's like, no, I was really hoping for a hag, but I guess you guys will work fine. All right, whatever.
Yeah, and I thought about maybe having like devil show up instead since you were on the nine elves. But I was like, well, you're a furball, you know.
Yeah, it would be like, why would the devil show up?
Definitely? Yeah. I mean, if you were just a normal everyday druid, I might have done that. But your character is a furball and you're an avatar of the goddess of nature. So
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, your magic probably works a little better than that. You're not going to summon devils.
Bryn would be deeply, deeply confused by that.
Yeah. Yeah. Which speaking of, I really appreciate your patience trying to find some furbolg. Of course, that's kind of on hiatus right now because you guys are in hell. I mean, you probably wouldn't want to find any furbolg in hell.
It's not like I'm going looking under every single rock in hell being like, hello, have you seen a furbolg? Hello, have you seen a furbolg? When we're up top.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'd be a bit of a... I think Bryn would be like, no, furbolgs, they would never be in hell. What are you talking about?
Yeah, totally. Now, the fairy forest, you could find some in there, maybe. Exactly the kind of place they'd be.
Now that we have like a direct link.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. You have a druid-based culture.
Yeah.
I'd probably just be like, maybe, like, I don't know, just be like, hey, we're going to plane shift the heck out of here.
Well, I'm kind of tempted now to check out some of the second campaign of Critical Role, especially since I have all this time now, because I read somewhere online, and you watched that, right? So you would probably
know. I'm a huge fan of Critical Role, yeah.
So I heard that they've done, in that second campaign, they've done quite a bit with the Firbolg. Is that true?
There are a couple. I think there are two player characters and one NPC. Well, a couple NPCs if you count like a few NPCs if you count the PC's families. But okay. Yeah, they do have a couple. And they are quite nice. They're very cute. They don't do the naming thing. I mean, they still have names.
Okay.
Which I think makes sense.
Yeah.
Because sticking to that has been real hard.
Yeah. In RP. Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things that sounds like a cool idea until you try to play it. And then you're like, this is kind of rough.
I was like, oh, that sounds fun. And then I was like, well, I guess I'm just Bryn now because I can't do this.
Yeah. How can you not have a name that?
I see it as just like they don't have like name words. They just have like, you know, words or phrases from nature, maybe. Like descriptors.
You know, I was reading a sci-fi book a while ago where there was this alien species that part of their language was scents, like they could produce certain smells to convey like emotions and stuff. Yeah. So I'm like, maybe the Furbolg have something like that. Like part of their language is nonverbal and maybe their names, like that's what their names are. So it just doesn't translate. I don't know what it would be. Maybe like music, maybe like singing, like maybe your name is a melody. It's not a word or something like that. Like a little,
maybe. I think,
I don't know.
The terms of singing, that's interesting because I know you brought that homebrew feat into the game.
Yeah. The tree singing. So that would kind of fit.
So it does kind of fit. And I don't know. It makes sense that they'd have some sort of bard culture.
Yeah, because the tree singing came from the Wheel of Time game.
Yeah, I've never read the Wheel of Time books.
And it came from a race called the Ogier, which very similar to the Furbolg.
I think are kind of, if I understand, yeah, that's pretty much the inspiration for the reskinning of the 5e Furbolg.
Okay. It makes sense because they're, you know, they're kind of the gentle giants like they are. Mm-hmm. They're all about nature. But their thing is they would sing, like if they planted a field, they would all gather around the field and they would sing and like the field would just grow before your eyes. So they would do like this nature magic through singing together as like a community. So
that's so sweet.
Yeah, so that'd be a cool
for this reason. I just think of them as like, I don't know, they're very communal.
Is someone here?
Oh, hey.
Yeah,
it's
here.
Craig.
Hey.
I didn't.
About a minute ago.
That part of my screen was covered up, so I didn't even know you were here.
You seem to be in the middle of something. I guess this, like, in a predominantly agricultural economy, just growing food instantly seems to destroy most of that.
Well, my conception of Furbolgs is very hunter-gatherer.
Yeah, well, you don't need to do that. You just go into a forest, sing a song, and done, I guess, or a field, and done.
Well, in the Wheel of Time, this was back in the Age of Legends, which was this, like, utopia.
Oh,
where, okay. Like, nobody had the work, and everybody was provided for, and that was part of the way they did it, was they could just grow food like crazy.
All right. Well, that solves it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Star Trek with replicators where you're like,
yeah,
so this just solves all of our problems.
What do we do now?
So, yeah.
So Craig, you've got really good timing. We pretty much have recapped the last session. The only major thing that happened that we didn't mention was at the very end, was when you guys took your first long rest in the nine hells, and everybody had to make a saving throw, and Larissa and Dahlia both failed and turned lawful evil.
Which has just been the best.
Yeah, it's been kind of fun. It's been
hilarious.
It has been good, and like she has Larissa's been playing it quite well.
Yes.
Which is handy, right? Because I'm never a huge fan of the entire alignment thing. I think it's silly.
Yeah.
But done a good job with being more just like not caring what the overall like goody two shoe goal is, instead of just wanting to go out and murder stuff randomly.
Yeah, and that's one thing I really like about how Manny's done it is it's not like his character completely changed overnight. It's very subtle changes, but she is more like just kind of like does not give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
We're gonna pick her up to the world. She doesn't care a damn about anybody's feelings. She's just
I've been playing Dahlia like kind of like the snotty sorority sister during rush week, you know, like she's kind of more been a more dramatic change, but I feel like with her it's more acting the way she's kind of always wanted to act, and just now she can let it out.
Yeah, I feel like Dahlia was always kind of a little bit of a jerk.
Yeah,
she's kind of a cheerleader, yes. for Larissa and just cheering her to do whatever Larissa wants to do at the time.
Yeah.
Larissa wants to be a jerk right now. So. I don't know
if you guys have seen Mean Girls, but she's like such a Gretchen Wieners.
I haven't seen that.
You've never seen Mean Girls?
I don't think so.
Oh my God. Like,
is this like, something I need to see?
It's a cultural touchstone of
yeah.
Is it a movie or a TV show?
It's a movie.
Like written, directed by Tina Fey. Like,
oh my God, I got to see it. You have me, Tina Fey.
Yeah, and it's when Lindsay Lohan was actually tolerable for like, yeah. I think 2 movies in her career.
Cool. I got to check that out.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I might even have a better Dolly after I watch that movie.
No, you have to then, just to understand.
Yeah. It's nice that you've come by it honestly instead of just like instead of just ripping off a character that everybody except Lex knows.
Well, I'm surprised that I missed it, honestly.
It is like 20 years old at this point.
Oh, okay.
15 years old? Yeah, no.
Because usually if I see something involving like Tina Fey or Amy Poehler, I'm like, I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'll go see it. Because they're hilarious.
I think this is before 30 Rock and just after she was done with SNL.
Oh, like, okay. Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
05 about.
So I'm not exactly sure all of Tina Fey's like her CV and how it all lines up, but I think it's in there.
She's a busy lady.
She is. All right. So how do we do these recaps?
So what we've been doing is I actually pulled up our notes and I've just been going through the notes kind of point by point, just kind of saying what happened. And then, you know, if there's anything anybody wants to say. So we're getting ready to start.
Chat and go on a tangent, and then Lex is like, and then this happened.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, and then that happened.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, the point of this is just kind of to talk about it. So it doesn't, tangents are fine. but I don't know if you guys ever listened to the Total Party Thrill podcast.
But I like the pun name.
Yeah, they, I haven't caught up with it in a while, but they had a really long Eberron campaign that they ran, and every episode they would just kind of like this, just kind of talk about what happened. It wasn't an actual play, but they just kind of give a recap of what happened. And I found it really entertaining. And so I thought we'd try something like that.
I kind of like the idea of round table recap instead of the like dedicate your 4 hours to watching something.
Yeah, because you're going to get the highlights of what happened, but you don't have to sit there through like the combat. Which we just got done recapping a combat that went over like 2 or 3 sessions. The one with Arkin and his minions, it just went on and on and on. That would probably not be super fun to watch or listen to. I don't know. Maybe it would be.
Especially not you and I debating.
Yeah. Well, like Critical Role, they do a good job of keeping it entertaining, even in the combat, but I don't know that we're that good.
They're very good at that. Very good at that.
Yeah. And it helps that they're in the room together too, I think.
That really, really helps, especially for the like attention challenged.
Yeah. I think they do a pretty good job of just like moving through shit really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, I think a lot of that is down to the DM, because I think a lot of them are definitely like, oh, I'm going to go on a tangent and chat. And then he's like, okay, let's move it on.
So we're ready to talk about, going by the notes, the session from December 17th, way back, called Pit Stop. And this is when you guys defeated Arkin and you went back to Dainar's Rest to kind of catch up. You guys leveled up to level 10 at this point.
Yep.
Got a report from the captain who said there'd been some demons and devils that attacked the town, but nothing like they couldn't handle. This is when you guys find out that the village only had enough water for a couple days. I spent half the session trying to remember the name of Brendel the cleric from the village.
Yeah, we knew that we had. That's his name. Oh gosh, that's. Oh, you just put that in the notes. I see that. Wow, he has a name. We know that now.
Yeah.
I think we just called him Tim at one point.
Yeah, because I could not find it in my notes. Like, yeah. What is this guy's name?
So, you know, insert cleric name here.
Some call me Tim.
So, yeah, there's a lot of discussion of ways to help the village as far as getting them more food and namely water. And at one point, you guys were discussing like using create food and water and how many between Wall and Quincy could. And I think Bryn has that, too. Could you do? And then it was like, well, we can't really just sit around creating water all day. Like, we're the only ones that can get us out of this mess.
It was a bit odd from a player point of view, because I feel like as a player, we could probably solve this problem through just becoming a fountain. Yeah. But as most fountains, they tend to be stationary.
Yeah.
And I think
imagine Quincy being terribly patient with the whole thing either.
No, Quincy doesn't believe in has no time for that.
He's like, go away.
Can I have some more? No. Yeah.
I'm trying to read.
I guess I had more of a Finnegan than a Oliver Twist in this. I think those are the two, right? I'm trying to remember Dickens. So, we sort of did that for a while, and that took like a good hour, if I remember correctly, just like talking about that and how we're going to solve that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was...
I think we decided just to kind of not.
Yeah, well, you had Brendel the cleric could do some creating water, and then you guys ended up finding some water on the ship, like some barrels of water on the ship that you donated to the village, and then just kind of rationing. They figured they could stretch it to 3 days with all of that, and then it was just kind of decided that the best thing for you guys to do was to figure out how to get back to where you belong and not worry about the water so much. And then one idea that was put forward is like kind of a last resort is that they could slaughter some of their livestock to reduce the need for water. Bryn was not a fan of that, so hopefully that won't happen. all the beautiful alpacas.
I'm just like, I've gotten to know them. They're nice people. Kind of dumb, but nice people. Give them a fighting chance, you know?
Well, would you rather them die of thirst?
Look, Brit isn't always rational. I mean, Brit definitely not. Definitely not rational in a lot of moments.
Fair enough. Wait a second. Their livestock is just the alpacas for the like nice scarves?
No, they have, I don't know if I have
a
note here. They have cows for like milk and stuff. And they do have some horses, not a lot of horses.
Okay.
Can you milk an alpaca? I assume you can.
I guess.
I think it's mainly cows and alpacas. They might have like some goats.
I guess I was just more sitting here going, wait a second. Why we're keeping all of these people on such a time schedule is just for like cashmere scarves, because I think this is less of a need and more of a want.
Yeah, no, it's also chickens. They've got chickens too.
Well, a chicken can't have that need that much water.
They're no, but small. I mean, if you take all the chickens into town, and you know, it's probably you'd probably have a few more gallons of water if you got rid of all those chickens.
Drink the blood. All right.
You could drink
as the pragmatist in me. Yeah.
I think that's the Mongols used to do. They used to bleed their horses and drink the horse blood when there wasn't water.
Yeah, didn't they have the fermented horse milk? Mare's milk was like a drink that they had.
Yeah, it was also a thing.
Yeah.
I remember reading Life of Pi. He was like, I drink sea turtle blood.
Ew.
I was like, oh, you could do that.
That doesn't sound tasty.
No, it sounds the opposite of tasty.
Sounds, I guess, slightly better than dying.
I mean,
like, not a lot.
When you're put in that, but yeah, it would have to be in boat on sea.
Yeah.
On, like, the ocean. At that point, I might just be like, you know, I should accept it.
Fair enough. So we did that for a while, and then then I attempted divine intervention, and then we had a long discussion about what divine intervention can do, as it is like the most wishy-washy thing in the entire 5e like system. I mean,
honestly, you might as well try it like literally every day.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Just for anything. Just play a numbers game.
Well, I played a cleric in Brett's game who had divine intervention, and I did use it every day. And it worked once.
One time
at the very end, I was like 17th level and it finally worked.
Oh my God.
So kind of my attitude as a DM is I don't worry about it until the player actually makes the roll. Because chances are really slim that it's actually, because it's like what? Like it's less than like 10% chance until you get, what is it? 1% per level? Is that what it is?
1% per level. I'm at level 10. So I'd be at
10% chance. Yeah.
So.
And then once you get to 20th level, it always works, but
nobody ever gets to 20th level. Yeah. So it's fine.
And then if you do, you're probably done.
Someday I'll get a character to 20th level.
But yeah, if that ever works, I would be pretty liberal with what I would let divine intervention do, because in my mind it literally is a god stepping up and helping you out.
Sure, you're level 20, what else the fuck are we gonna do with this campaign? You want to level a city? Sure.
Yeah, we're gonna just Targaryen this entire thing.
Yeah, I mean I guess in my mind it would really just be a question of what can the god do? Like right now you guys are in the nine hells. What is Dianara's level of influence like here? I'm not sure. I guess I'd have to decide that if divine intervention works.
Well, it's always been kind of the problem with a cleric, is that does a cleric's power come from the cleric, or does it actually come from the god? Because then if you're like severed from your god, then you know, the cleric becomes just a dude. And just a dude is less impressive.
Well, actually, right? You know, now that I think about it, I think Dianara would actually have more power in the nine hells than she does on Primordia due to some things you guys don't know about yet. So, yeah.
Oh, really? Huh.
I
don't know about
me. Yet. Soon, maybe.
We'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah, that's my goal in these recaps, is to not say things that I shouldn't say. Because I have a bad habit of like letting cats out of bags.
Yeah. It's hard to do that as a GM when you're just like, oh, well, what about this? Oh, we didn't know that, Lex. Ah, then forget that. We'll just move on. So, So we did that. I attempted to call on Dianara. Dianara decided that, you know, she had other things to do.
Or maybe just decided that you could handle it on your own. That's what I would say.
Sure.
The gods help those who help themselves, kind of thing.
Faith, right? Faith. Apparently what we're supposed to have is followers and gods.
Yeah, I was going to say, Crank's not very good at faith. Quincy is kind of dodgy at faith. Quincy sort of got clericdom thrust upon him more than he did, you know, accept it. It wasn't a pursuit.
Just like the kind of guy who like goes to seminary school just to go so he can get an education.
He's like the non-believer who like got bitch slapped by a god and went, well, I get that atheism is kind of a stupid choice now.
Fine, okay, you exist.
Pretty much. So, yeah. I have a friend of mine who says that in D&D, atheism is the only truly stupid choice. Because they are there.
Yeah.
All over. And really obvious.
Yeah, I think the way I'd go is, instead of saying my character doesn't believe in the gods, is saying I think we'd be better without the gods, and that they cause more harm than good, and we should have our own destiny and not have the gods meddling in our affairs.
Like, we know this, we're just on the fence about whether or not they care.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I always kind of liked the Greek gods for that. Like, they had a lot of, like, we're going to fuck with you built into the mythology, right? Yeah.
Like, absolutely. That was like a major, major tenet of that religion, was just like, the gods are assholes.
Yeah. They either don't care or they're going to screw you. These are like your only two options. No god. There's no story about one of the Greek gods showing up and going, well, that was helpful.
Yeah. Even if it does, things still end up just terribly.
Yeah. So then Larissa makes a comment about leaving the village to its fate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Larissa's evil now.
Oh, yeah. And before that, she quite tactfully suggested to the villagers that they make themselves useful and start fixing the place up. Which did not go over super well.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's fair. Oh, your comment, or somebody's comment about water will be extended for 3 days. After that, people will begin dying of thirst. Can't you go like a few days without water, without dying?
Yeah, about 3 days.
Yeah, I think 2 or 3 days.
Right, something, but like they that. Have water for 3 days.
Right.
Mm-hmm. After
so
which
we should have after which, die. Well, no, after which they will have like 3 days, and then they will start dying.
Hey, I didn't write these notes. So. No, well, you're right. You're right. Yeah, it's not like people are going to start dying on day three.
Right. I think we've got a few extra long rests.
Yeah, probably two, because people before that were rationing, so they might not go quite as long as you normally would if you had all the water you needed, and then suddenly you're without.
I have all that alpaca blood.
But yeah, got all can, blood.
All right.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, is I think after the 2 days is when they'd probably start killing animals, because if they wait until 3 days, like, it's too late. That the animals already drank all the water.
Right. Anyways, this all seems like a problem the village can solve. We will solve the expatriation of the village. They will solve the not dying in the village problem.
There you go. That's
division of labor.
It's a two-way street.
No, it's two simultaneous tasks.
Okay.
that's Craig with his project manager hat going, wait, we have two tasks that are in parallel that both need to be completed with different resources. Therefore, they don't impact each other. Problem solved.
Well, no, and that's a good point. And I think that's eventually what I kind of tried to tell you guys after you guys discussed this for like an hour, was that, you know, maybe, you know, maybe the water thing isn't necessarily a problem for you guys to solve.
You mean we spent an hour to discussing how long of how many villagers there are, how long someone can survive without water, and how much water each of us can create per day for nothing?
Yeah, that was, you know, from like the dungeon master perspective, that whole thing was for realism. And to put some pressure, you know, some drama and some stakes, and to put kind of a time limit on things, not because I wanted you guys to max out your spells for creating water and being PC fountains. That was not what I was going for. And, you know, unintended consequences, because I didn't even think about that you guys might do that. And then I was like, oh, crap.
We care about these people, Lex. We care about them.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Good dungeon mastering. We care about the village.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least some of us do now.
Yeah. Maybe not Larissa so much, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Larissa was just, oh, man.
Well, now that Logan left, she doesn't care about the village.
Yeah.
So I'm reading through this, and I think this is where there's lots of discussions about friendship bracelets and the power of friendship.
Yes. Yes, I think.
Yeah. Yes. This is where Brynn goes into her little races.
This like, is where we got like an after school special on the power of friendship.
Well, part of that also is Lulu, because she's all about friendship and like her whole thing is yeah, yeah.
She's gonna be about the power of friendship.
She's you know, her best friend was Zariel, who is like the Lucifer of D&D and fell to darkness and blah 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 blah. So yeah, she's all about friendship.
I thought it was the entire thing, which was like, if I remember, most of this session was, first half was, how do we create food and water? And then the second half was Brynn distributing friendship bracelets. And it was just like,
more than that.
It was wonderfully, like 4 months later, this is what Craig remembers.
Friending more than that. First, you went to go talk to Big Brother Wall.
Oh, yes.
Why doesn't Larissa like us anymore, you know?
Right.
Why are mommy and daddy fighting? And then...
And then it got a little too real for Brett, and he killed you.
Yeah.
And that this is an interesting note. Larissa sits in the tavern. Larissa tells Verna she's a powerful asset. Yeah.
Verna again?
Verna's the innkeep.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Larissa was like basically telling Verna, hey, you're important. You shouldn't put yourself before other people in the village because you're more important than they are.
Verna's like, are you sure we're still talking about me?
This is kind of like another aspect of Larissa's evil that I kind of enjoy, which is this like self-sacrifice is stupid. So but she's like a charming person, right? This is her entire thing, is that she charms people. So she just builds up their self-esteem to make them realize, like, too self-centered. It's what the path here seems to be.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, ah, I can make everyone a narcissist if I make them all feel really good about themselves.
You know, maybe it's a good thing Manny isn't here. He might be embarrassed by us gushing about his role-playing of the fall into evil.
I don't know.
Larissa, like, this totally reminds me of Mean Girls. Okay, next time we talk about Larissa, you have to have watched Mean Girls.
Yeah, I think I'll watch it tonight.
Background knowledge.
We've run out of things to watch, so yeah, we're primed.
Gosh, no, you've got to watch it because there's this great scene where Regina George, who's the queen bee at the school, like turns to this girl and she's like, oh my gosh, I love your skirt. Where did you get it? And this girl's like, it was my mom's in the 80s. She's like, oh, that's so cute. And the girl's like, no, thanks. And she walks away. And then Regina turns to the main character. And she's like, that's the ugliest effing skirt I've ever seen in my life. But yeah, Brynn just goes and becomes the absolute like girl that has to sit in the library for lunch. Pretty much. Larissa and Dahlia just like are so mean to her.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Brynn.
Yeah.
I was like, oh gosh, this reminds me of middle school. No.
Well, finally, someone was meaner to Brynn than the quartermaster at the guild.
I think that was just like two very different like philosophies.
Yeah.
Brynn going, what's money? And the quartermaster going,
I've lost all respect for you now. How can you not understand money? The center of my reality.
Yeah. If he'd been like, I'll trade you three, you know, woven baskets for, you know, a fold of cloth, that would have made a lot more sense to her.
Yeah.
But
this is like the head of the Federal Reserve being told, so what's money again? And he's just like, the little brain just breaks with like, I don't know where to start.
And we're just like, does not even care. And then she's like, this is dumb. But yeah, she tries to relate to Larissa.
Yep.
By being like, let's go gardening because that'll make you into a nice person again. The logic here is astounding. It's like, hey, and then she's like, I don't know. I think Brynn really does not want to lose anyone. She's in a very scary place. She lost her entire tribe. This is like her adopted family, and she's like, nope, this is not going to happen. I'm going to aggressively love the shit out of you until you stop being mean.
Yeah, this is very much like the kid watching their parents divorce, right? I just love them all so much, nobody will go away.
I am so, so good. Everyone is very young and very naive. And a little traumatized. I don't know.
She's been through some stuff.
She's been through some shit, and she hasn't really processed it. And so she's like, I'm going to make friendship bracelets because that's what we do in situations like this. If I can get Larissa to wear a friendship bracelet that I made her, then that's going to be fine. We're going to be best friends forever because we have bracelets.
I suppose if you made a friendship bracelet that had like a permanent charm person or something as a magic curse, that might work.
Oh, man.
That makes me think the D&D friendship bracelets could be a lot more potent.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
You could get a buff if you're like within a certain radius. It's like power of friendship, but if one of you takes it off, the other takes like a certain amount of psychic damage. Oh man, I want to make these items now.
I'm just imagining like someone seeing this in the DMG for the first time and they're like, friendship bracelet, cursed magic item. What?
I want this now. Oh my gosh. I'm such a noob and not a DM at all, but I need someone to make those. It probably exists somewhere.
Possibly.
DM's Guild or something.
Yeah.
I
don't know if anybody would have made it as a cursed item that causes you to befriend somebody whether you want them to or not. I think that's an excellent way of doing it, because I think that if you were to describe it in its most fundamental way, that is what a friendship bracelet's attempting to do.
Yeah.
But Brynn is trying to, in like a naive way, like, I'm just going to remind her that she's our friend.
Mm-hmm.
By making her friendship bracelets. And if I'm a good enough friend to her, it's enjoyable.
So after the friendship bracelets, there is a thing where Lulu can transform into a giant golden mammoth.
Well, she used to be able to.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't remember that. And we should do that.
Yeah.
We should be doing that every day.
Yeah. Like, her little trumpet blast is okay. But, you know, giant golden mammoth seems more useful.
Yeah, that's something I don't know that's really come across. But, well, you guys know that, like, she's got, like, the amnesia thing going on. And I think somebody at some point made the connection with the River Styx, which wipes away all your memories, and was like, oh, maybe she encountered the River Styx or something.
Oh, shit. Who said that? I don't remember that.
I think maybe it was Craig, actually, but I don't remember really.
Craig, did you make that?
It's entirely possible. I, like, a few years ago, I took a campaign and ported it over to something else from second edition. So there's like a couple of little things that I remember from that, that some of it seems to pay off, some of it, or not pay off, some of it seems to be familiar and a lot of it isn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was published 20 years ago, so I don't, as I say, it was, I think it was second edition to put it in perspective, but I do remember something about Styx taking away people's memories. Mean,
in Greek myth, that is true.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's where that comes from.
I didn't make the connection at all.
But the idea, and I might as well tell you guys this because I don't think there's any way you'd ever figure it out, and it doesn't matter. But the kind of the idea is, as Lulu sees moments of friendship, like the memories come back to her. So,
oh my gosh, really?
Yeah. So
I've totally been doing like...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's actually kind of played into things kind of well. How
I didn't even think about it. I was just being grim.
But
I was just being aggressively like be my friend.
Yeah, that was one of her memories that came back where she suddenly recalled, oh, I used to be able to change into this giant winged mammoth and Zeriel would ride me around in the battle and stuff.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
It's one thing to just think of it like a massive elephant, massive Lulu, but if you think about like a war mammoth with wings, think like a war elephant.
Yeah.
A golden war mammoth?
Yeah.
A flying golden war mammoth?
Yeah, right? That's pretty metal.
That is pretty awesome.
Like, you'd expect to see that painted on the side of like a hippie van, for sure.
Right now, she looks like a toy for toddlers, but, you know, in her true form.
In her true form. Admittedly, at this exact moment, if we had to choose between the two, I think one is just more easily transportable.
Yes, this is true.
Like,
easier to get into parties. And
significantly more adorable.
Yeah. Easier to feed.
Well, yeah, there's also... guess we have to kill the mammoth now for the blood.
So Lulu just drank everybody's water for the next 3 days.
Lulu.
And now she's spraying it all over herself because she was hot.
I do like Lulu as a character. I think she is a very good like juxtaposition for the horribleness that is Avernus.
Yeah.
There's just like this cute little toy elephant that's flying around and seems perfectly innocent.
Yeah.
So.
And not annoying like Jojo is.
Yeah.
I mean, why? Why would you even remind me that he exists?
Well, I'm just thinking of like cute, unnecessary characters to sell toys.
Cute is not. Yeah, they kind of missed the mark on that one.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. But I think he was supposed to be cute. I think he was supposed to.
He became a senator.
Did he really?
Yeah, that
you! I thought you meant the actor.
Oh, no. Jojo Binks.
Yeah. Yeah, that was messed up. How did that happen? I want to hear that story.
Yeah, it actually makes significantly more sense for the voice actor to become a senator.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. So,
Misa wants to talk about climate change.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, well.
Still better than Mitch McConnell.
That's true.
So, yeah. I think that actually gets us to the end of our notes.
Yeah.
This was one of those sessions that was...
Those heavy RP and no combat.
The heavy RP and nobody rolled a die. I rolled one. 100 and didn't do anything, but other than that,
you rolled one die poorly.
Well, I had to get a 10 or less at 100.
That's true. Like, that's true.
Yeah,
Quincy is wearing his friendship bracelet, right?
Quincy is wearing his friendship
bracelet. He is. Wow,
that's right.
So curmudgeonly. I wasn't sure.
He's kind of like a big marshmallow, right? He's like, you know,
it's an act.
Prickly on the outside.
It's a front.
So
it's a softy on the inside.
That's sort of what I always sort of pictured him as. It's like, oh, fine. So, yeah.
See, if this were like a novel or a movie, there would be a dark moment in Quincy's future where he would look at that friendship bracelet and it would give him hope. And we would like see this window into Quincy that we'd never seen before. And then he'd be back to, get off of my yard.
Be like, hey,
no, Bryn, man. It's not that way. It's this way.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, I have been right at least once when I did that.
At least once. There are definitely some times. I was just like, you know what? Let's let him have this.
Let him have it.
Let him have it. It's not worth it.
Well, thanks for doing this, guys. I really appreciate it.
No problems. This is fun. And it's good to get some social activity.
Yeah, right. Get
oh, God, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up episode 277 of Dungeon Master's Journey. I hope you enjoyed the show today. Hope you enjoyed our recap. If you have opinions you'd like to share or feedback, I'd love to hear from you. You can shoot me an email at dungeonmastersjourney@gmail.com. Love to hear what you think of the recap. If you like this kind of thing, if you want me to keep doing this kind of thing. I've already heard from a few of you that like the idea, but, you know, you hadn't actually heard one yet. So I hope you all liked it. And thank you to everyone who's been sending feedback. I really appreciate it. I am planning a few episodes in the near future based on some feedback and questions I've received. So, yeah, you guys can look forward to that. And the show's always better when I get feedback from people. So keep it coming. Another great way you can keep up with me or get a hold of me is on Twitter at Lex Starwalker. I also have a voicemail that you can call. The number for that is 951-GMJ-LEX-1. That's 951-465-5391. You can also join our communities on MeWe and Discord. You can find links to those in the show notes at starwalkerceos.com/dungeonmastersjourney. If you would like to support the show, there are a lot of great ways that you can do so. You can check those out on our support page at starwalkerceos.com/support. Great way to support the show is to purchase one of my self-published D&D supplements, the most recent of which is Adventures of Primordia, which are a bunch of player character options that I came up with for my world of Primordia. And some of those the players are using in the campaign I'm running right now. And another great way to support the show is to become a patron. Shout out and thank you to all my patrons. And you can find a link to my Patreon in the show notes at starwalkerstudios.com. So I hope that you have a chance to play some D&D this week. I hope you have a chance to run some D&D. I'll be back soon with another episode of Dungeon Master's Journey. Until then, game on.
This has been a Starwalker Studios production, your source for quality gaming and hobby podcasts.
This episode's music, courtesy of Cloudwalker, Transboy, Renfield, Stanko, and Ish. See the show notes for more details at starwalkerstudios.com/gamemastersjourney.